Thank you so much once again. Foods form an essential part of our lives. Our food culture is shaped by different factors. It is affected by our environment. It's affected sometimes by our religion and personal beliefs. Today, I want to talk about community-supported agriculture. It's an alternative food network that has the capacity to decommodify food, to shape the way we view food. Look at it from another perspective. We just had an excellent presentation from Dr. Cohen. I'm just building on our presentation at this point. Looking at what we are talking about today, let's think about it for a minute. Understanding the pathophysiology of obesity. As we eat, we understand that, I will take that back a minute. Obesity arises from a multi-contextual factors. Sorry about that. That's my timer. Obesity arises from so many factors. Those could be environmental. Those could be, a lot of it is also genetic. Currently, about 35% of American adults are considered obese. And there are indications that it does reduce life expectancy significantly. And there are also projections that in 20 years, about 44% people in the United States will be obese, and 60% in 13 states. We think about the implication of obesity, and as we understand how it arises, let's just take a minute to think about it. As we eat and we become full, leptin is a polypeptide in the fatty stores. It signals to the brain's hypothalamus that we are full, and then inhibition of food is stopped at that point. But there are times when the leptin's capacity to regulate the fat storage is impaired, and when that happens, then the food, the fat becomes deposited in and around body organs, and when that happens, the outcomes are all the diseases that are associated with obesity, like what I have on this slide. We have fatty liver disease, other cardiovascular related diseases. Going back to San Bernardino, where I'm from, it's a large city in California. It has been shown that San Bernardino is disproportionately affected by poverty, and we all understand also, from the Supplemental Poverty Measure Index, recently indicated that California is also disproportionately affected by poverty because of the poverty rate. Actually, it was indicated that the poverty rate in California is about 23.8%. When we think about poverty, we think also about the purchasing power, how much people have. It is understood that if you have less income, you're less likely to purchase fruits and vegetables. With low fruits and vegetable consumption, we know those are associated with diabetes, cardiovascular diseases, insulin resistance, and all the other sequelae of conditions. With low frequency of fruits and vegetables, we see that from research, those have been correlated with IBMI, and IBMI also related to so many medical conditions that I mentioned earlier. A study was done in 2007 looking at food environments. This time we've been talking about the impact of where you live to your health. In San Bernardino, they indicated that California has a relative food environmental index of 4.2, and then San Bernardino City was 5.7. The RFEI is an index of how many unhealthy stores there are compared to the healthy ones. So if we have, let's say, San Bernardino City, for instance, we have about six stores, six food outlets where you can obtain unhealthy foods compared to every healthy one. This is also a chart of what they found in this study. They did a closer study in 2011, and they actually found that when they considered the home school environment, there were about nine options for a child, an adolescent, to purchase an unhealthy food option compared to an healthy one there in San Bernardino. This is a breakdown of the fast food restaurants. We see that majority of all the food outlets that we have in California do not provide healthy options. So we are looking into alternative food networks. Community-supported agriculture is one of the other networks that can also supplement healthy food options that are available. There was a question about, you know, the community in some of these alternative food networks. But with community-supported agriculture, farmers, they partner directly with local residents. They prepay for the farm produce, and then the farmers supply them every week, or depending on the arrangement with the farmer, they people pay from month to month or season by season, which is about 13 weeks, or sometimes it may be an annual commitment. This has the capacity to reduce full mile, reduces undue transportation, and also some of the fossil fuel associated with, you know, transporting food, because people are connecting directly with their communities. It has an opportunity to also sustain agriculture, promote the local economy, and then you also have that environmental interaction which you experience with people when they are connecting with the farmers in their own community. This is a sample of what of a typical farm share. There's a full share, there's a medium farm share. And all the alternative networks, according to a study by Follett in 2009, they categorized them under three major options. We have the farmers market, just evidently presented by Dr. Cohen, community-supported agriculture schemes, which I'm talking about, and then we have so many corporate organic markets. SNAP is an alternative food network. The farmers co-op programs, the slow movement, there are a couple of them. So my research questions, there are three. Is there any significant difference in the health outcomes of participants who participate in community-supported agriculture compared to another group that do not? Secondly, how do participants' behavioral intentions, attitude, and perceived behavioral control for fruits and vegetable consumption differ from non-participants? Three, what lessons can we learn from participants' account of factors that promote or discourage their choices of fruits and vegetables? My theory background is the theory of plant behavior. We're postulating that a person who has a favorable attitude towards eating fruits and vegetables, and who subjectively believe that he or she can eat or has the resources to purchase or to engage in this kind of agricultural practice, and who also has an intention to eat more fruits and vegetables, will be more likely to eat better, to choose healthier, and also even to participate in an programs such like community-supported agriculture, or maybe even farmers market, or other alternative food network. My study design is mixed. We're doing a quantitative and qualitative survey. Longitudinal, we're collecting data at pretest, median, and then at the end of the study. Quasi-experimental, because it's a community-based research, it's non-randomized. At this time, it was kind of a loophole, because we wanted it randomized, but we realized that we were losing people when we told them that you are not likely to get it. We don't know. We cannot say who's going to get it if we randomize. So we had to kind of backpedal. And then having non-randomized, we just selected another group as a comparison group. So for the intervention group, they are going to be receiving free farm share, which is it costs about $20 a week for 13 weeks. We have 1 hour of health education session, 1 hour of physical activity session, free health screening, free health education materials, and the comparison group. We call them comparison group because they are receiving some form of the intervention, which is the physical activity component. We have it moderated by one of our partners in the program. They'll be receiving free health screening, $10 gift card, gift raffle items, and then free other education materials at the end of the study. The sample size estimated is about 120. These are some of the health education topics, introduction to fruits and vegetables, how to eat properly, and then also introducing people just to different foods which are available in farm share programs, which people may not be used to normally or ordinarily. And for the physical activities, 1 hour of physical activity every week, and these are the choices. They can do aerobic, Zumba dance, speed walking. I have 2 groups. They are similar based on their retail food environmental index and demographics. My inclusion criteria, 1 person from each house, at least 18 years old, not pregnant. Exclusion, less than 18 years and pregnant women. Recruitment, we're doing it, providing flyers from door to door. We'll be conducting a focus group discussion to know the times that are best for the people in the communities to come up to participate in the program. And for my measuring tools, I'm using the CDC's healthy quality of life instrument to ask them about their life's health qualities, the most concise healthy quality of life measure. How do you rate your health? How many days are you impaired from doing your physical activities, just as I have listed on this slide? For my fruit vegetable consumption, I'm using the convention developed by Prochaska and Salis. In the past 1 month, how many servings of fruits and vegetables have you had? How many servings of vegetables have you had in the past 1 month? For my physical activity questions, they are adapted from the youth risk surveillance system questionnaire developed also by CDC. For my biometrics, I'm using the full body sensor composition measure. It's going to be calculated to each person's age, gender, and height. And then for my research question, for research question number 1 and 2, I'm using repeated measures ANOVA. We'll be testing for interactions between time and group and determining whether to interpret simple or main effect. And also, I'll be doing a pairwise comparison of the groups to know which group differs from what and in what direction the differences are. These are some of the barrier questions. Tell me what you know about community-supported agriculture. This is the qualitative part of the qualitative component of the research. For my qualitative component, still, our goal is to explore participants' barriers to accessing food, and then the result is to develop a conceptual model that explains participants' health food access experience, and then we can make possible suggestions. Sample size, 112 is my estimated sample size, and then additional 8 for attrition, and then for my qualitative component is we're surveying till saturation. Study trend, it is community focused. We have an array of partners who are providing their resources to participate in the program. Everybody brings in his or her own area of expertise. My limitations right now, it is non-random, it's conveniently sampled, so it precludes generalization to other populations. Other limitations include farm share cost, the sample size. Study is still in progress at this time. For my ethics, it's going through the Office of Sponsored Research at Loma Linda University. We're hoping that the study can contribute to understanding the obesity problem, and also we can also contribute to Healthy People 2020's goal to promote better health and reduce chronic diseases. I have my itemized budget. I have funding for some of the items that we need to get covered, my justification, my timeline, and my acknowledgement. Thank you so much. I'll take questions. Questions for me, please?
Any questions for Fayomi on his proposed CSA project? Okay. Do you have any particular other comments you'd like to make?
One of the things that we thought about with the project is how to sustain this program, because it is community-supported agriculture. People partner with the farmers, and they have to pay upfront. And just like Dr. Cohen was explaining about why the people who actually come back for the program, why do they come back? What are some of the barriers that they experience? Is it in terms of maybe the education about maybe these programs, or is it the affordability of this program? So that is something that we're exploring in the qualitative portion of the project to see how it can be affordable to people, and they can use, you know, all these food assistance programs. Because we want to approach this issue of barrier, which is the education piece, and then we want to think about the financial piece too, because that is also a big issue with people. And we know that your purchasing power determines a lot on what you do with what you get in terms of, you know, the money. When you have money, then you are able to, you have better options. If you don't have money, you don't have so many options. That's it.
And what about relationships? You know, relationships being such an important part between the consumers and the producers. And so you may have said something to address that, but what was your approach in terms of encouraging, you know, those introductions?
With the, what we have noticed with this community-supported agriculture, we have different feedback from people in terms of, you know, the relationship that has been built over time, and even with the farmers. It is a positive thing because people coming and then they just talk about, you know, their experience that, okay, they get to actually try something that they have never tried before. It's a different kind of food. Even for me personally, I started with the project and then I joined the program. And then there were so many things that I'd never tried before. But as a result of, you know, engaging in this kind of study, I started trying. Now when I go to, you know, grocery stores, I'm looking for stores that are more organic now. I'm looking for things that are healthier too. So relationship is, it's a good thing, and it's actually a plus in this kind of venture when we are exploring alternative food networks. There is a question there. Thank you,
question.
Ma'am. Thank you so much. Asking about the steps that we're taking to address some of the barriers. We have actually gotten feedback from people. Like, they get certain kinds of fruits and vegetables that they are not used to, and they don't know what to do with them. And so that may end up in the waste. But with this study, we are approaching it from an educational perspective. So we're having the farmers actually come teach the people about the foods that they eat. So every week, they will bring people who are going to demonstrate how to prepare, let's say, this food. They talk about how to store these foods, too. And because sometimes, you know, some of us don't know how to store certain foods. There are some that are not supposed to be refrigerated, and then we do, and then it's the other way. So farmers will come in to teach, you know, the community about what to do with this food. And the compliance we've been having with people after, you know, the initial training with the program has been very, very positive, because people started listening, and then, you know, they were the ones now saying, okay, they were looking forward to, like, the next week and the next week, and they're asking about, oh, what are we going to have now? I like this. I never tried radish before. I never tried, you know, kale before. Then, you know, the experience has been positive.
Okay, well, great question and great answer. Thanks very much.
Thank you so much.